Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder what the most significant, life-changing encounter with God has been in your lifetime thus far. I realize that's not a question you probably consider very often. The Bible, of course, is filled with stories of people having life-changing encounters with God. But the truth is, most people, even most devoutly religious people, even most people who consider themselves followers of Jesus, do not expect to ever have a life-changing encounter with God. What about you? Yesterday, we looked at a remarkable encounter Philip had with God, which actually transported Philip several miles to Azotus, according to Acts chapter 8. I explained to you the strategicness of that place, both historically and now. Acts 21 tells us Philip remained in that city, married, and had four wonderful daughters who evidently grew up following in their father's footsteps. Why do I say that? Because Acts chapter 21 verse 8 says they prophesied. That means they had the spiritual gift of prophecy given to them by the Holy Spirit, and they used that gift frequently to proclaim and explain God's truth. Dr. Luke, the human author of the book of Acts, uses Acts chapter 9 to lead us back from Caesarea to Jerusalem, and from following Philip back into the story of what was happening in the great persecution which followed the murder of the first martyr, Stephen. That persecution, you may recall, is what forced Philip to flee Jerusalem and head to Samaria. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 reintroduces us to Saul, the zealous Pharisee who had overseen the stoning of Stephen. With Stephen's blood on his hands, Saul was nearly delirious with anger toward the spiritual awakening happening in Jerusalem. And Acts chapter 9 tells us Saul requested and received official papers giving him Jewish Sanhedrin authority to arrest anyone suspected of being a follower of Jesus, not only in Jerusalem, but elsewhere, even as far as Damascus, Syria. On his way to Damascus, with those papers in his hand, Saul and his traveling party were suddenly confronted by a bright light which flashed from heaven, knocking Saul off his horse. Then Saul heard a voice from heaven say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Stunned, almost into shock, Saul responded by crying out, "Who are you, Lord?" The voice from heaven responded to Saul, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now that, my friends, is a life-changing encounter with God. Would you agree? In fact, this encounter Saul was having with the resurrected Jesus Christ was just as legitimate as Mary Magdalene meeting Jesus in the garden that Easter morning, or Peter and six other disciples having shoreline breakfast with resurrected Jesus in Galilee. Acts chapter 9, verse 7 and 9 tell us those traveling with Saul heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Furthermore, when Saul finally stood to his feet, he found he was blinded by that flash of bright light, and it required someone to help him back on his horse and then lead him into Damascus. Evidently, he was taken in by those expecting him, and for 3 days, Saul remained in seclusion, unable to see, and with no appetite, he did not eat or drink anything. Now, Saul was a Pharisee, and therefore fasting was something Saul did often. But this time was different. God had Saul's full attention. The Jesus, whom Saul had totally rejected and was determined to eradicate from Jerusalem, Damascus, and anywhere else Jesus' followers could be found, had appeared to Saul, confronted Saul, and challenged Saul to consider his entire life was changing into something he could have never imagined. I imagine Saul prayed like he'd never prayed before during those 3 days, asking God to illuminate his mind and heart to understand what God was doing. It was inconceivable to Saul that the Jesus, who he was certain had been crucified, was actually speaking to Saul. I'm sure Saul had heard the stories of Jesus' resurrection, and we know Saul was a firsthand eyewitness to the radical spiritual awakening in Jerusalem, but Saul refused to believe it was anything more than hysteria. It could not possibly be a legitimate work of the God of Israel, could it? Saul had memorized huge sections of the Jewish Torah, the Psalms and the prophets. In his blindness during those 3 days, I presume Saul studied those scriptures in his mind, especially those pertaining to the Jewish Messiah. Passionately he prayed, asking God for understanding, for clarity, for revelation and inspiration. Saul was a revered teacher, and now Saul needed the Spirit of God to teach him. Saul struggled. Is it possible he had been wrong? Is it possible Jesus actually is who these Galilean lunatics claim Jesus to be? God the Son, the Messiah. Is it possible the reports of Jesus' miracles were true? Oh, how Saul wrestled and agonized. Have you ever found yourself wrong about something you were very passionate about? At the same time in that city, Damascus, another man had an encounter with God. His name was Ananias, and the resurrected Jesus stunned Ananias with a miraculous vision in which Jesus instructed Ananias to go to a particular house and inquire about a man named Saul. Ananias was a follower of Jesus, fearful for his life. He had heard about this Saul, the Pharisee, coming to Damascus, intent on finding and arresting all Jesus' followers. In this miraculous vision, the Holy Spirit of God enabled Ananias to dialogue with resurrected Jesus. Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people." Have you ever found yourself questioning God, second-guessing what you believe is the leading you are receiving from God? Have your questions even evolved into an argument with God? Can we imagine Ananias' shock when Jesus responded to him, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Acts 9, verse 15 and 16. How long did it take Ananias to comprehend this outrageous statement from God? Rather than defending his people by killing Saul, God planned to use Saul for his glory as a communicator of the gospel of Jesus? But Saul hated Jesus and his gospel, and Saul was determined to eradicate it from the earth. Oh my, Ananias was in a quandary. Maybe just as much as Saul was. I'm sure both men were asking God, "How is this possible?" We must pause right here and let our minds wrap around what's happening with Saul and Ananias. And we must ask ourselves how open we are to an encounter with resurrected Jesus, especially a spiritual encounter which might entirely change our life plans. How many restrictions have you placed on your expectations of how God functions and communicates with you? Is today the day you open your mind and heart to a no-restrictions relationship with Jesus? Does that concept frighten you? We'll look more closely at this type of adventure living tomorrow, a remarkable event which became so pivotal in the global story of the Jesus movement, which stretches over now 2 millennia.